What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues, etc. journal.
About dragons. Let me show you some of what you don't know.
Can I know you?
No.
You were only a babe, but a mother never forgets.
Unbelievable. You've been rescuing them.
Something is coming. Something you've never faced before.
The dragons are mine now. Protect our people. It's your destiny.
What you're searching for is in here.
Come on! This is very dangerous!
Are you kidding me?
And Vikings! Enemies again!
Oh! That's an excerpt from the trailer of the kids' movie, How to Train Your Dragon 2. A kids' movie, a family movie. Is there a difference between the two, especially when adult themes, even mildly insinuated adult themes, make its way into these animated features that make so much money? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 19th of June. Pastor Ted Giese will join us here in the first half hour. We're going to review that movie, How to Train Your Dragon 2. A little bit later, Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., will join us to talk about a vote that's coming up on same-sex marriage at the convention in Detroit of the Presbyterian Church USA, the largest Presbyterian church body in the United States. It narrowly was defeated last time it came up to approve same-sex marriage. Some say it may narrowly win this time. And we'll also talk with Mark Tooley about a Methodist pastor who is appealing being defrocked for performing his son's gay wedding. We'll see how that goes and answer some questions on that with Mark Tooley. A little bit later, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will join us for his thoughts on Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis. You might say, I can't think of two religious leaders more different, more contrasting than Pope Francis and Joel Osteen. Well, not so fast, says Chris Roseborough. We'll see what he thinks about that a little bit later here on Issues, Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he has taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
One of the things that you think we should understand here as we look at this, well, we'll call it a children's movie, is the difference between a children's movie and a family movie nowadays. What's the difference as far as you can observe?
Well, I think years ago you had movies that were more geared directly to just the children in the audience. And as the years kind of went by, they kind of started to include different things for the adults that were also there. So basically you kind of have a shifting from it being completely focused only on the child's experience to kind of being a family experience, I guess. So you find over time, you know, a move from things like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to, you know, stuff like this, How to Train Your Dragon 2.
So is it the inclusion of what we'd call, innocently here, adult humor, adult themes into this in an attempt to appeal to both the kids and their parents?
I think so. You get kind of things that are believed, I think, to be the kind of content that would just kind of go over the kids' heads and kind of hit more the adults. I guess you can even start to see it happening much earlier on with things like the Rocky and Bullwinkle TV show, where maybe it's covering things that the adults in the room might find interesting, but then also there's just this aspect of, you know, the moose and squirrel and stuff that would be appealing to children.
So where does How to Train Your Dragon 2 fit in there?
Well, it definitely brings in a lot of adult ideas, grown-up ideas into the film itself. Now, children exist in a world populated with adults, so they're slowly and sometimes maybe too quickly being brought into the grown-up world. And in this case, you get some pretty complicated themes, relationship themes, that are being brought up in this film.
This is, of course, a sequel with the two at the end. How does it relate to the first of these films, How to Train Your Dragon? Where does it pick up? What's the plot line here?
It picks up about 5 years after the first film. And what you get is, in the first film, the dragons were seen as kind of an antagonistic, kind of a threat to the town that they live in on the island of Berk. These are Vikings. It's an animated film. But by the end of the movie, they all kind of come around by the help of Hiccup, the central character, to see them not as adversaries, but as compatible workmates in life, as it were. So they kind of get this symbiotic kind of idyllic lifestyle with them and the dragons living together on this island of Berk. In the second movie, it's 5 years later, and now there's a threat to this idyllic life that they've made for themselves. There's this mysterious Drago character from far away who's amassing a rumored dragon army, and that kind of kicks off the movie. Your central character, Hiccup, rushes out to try to talk sense into this this villain, and then all of the kind of things that happen all spring out of this, him running away to do that. Also, his father doesn't want him to run away to do this. It's kind of an act of disobedience that he would run off and do this, and it kind of kicks everything going.
So what are the themes that you see running through this movie and its plot?
Well, you get just the general stuff, you know, that it builds from the original film. So stuff like complementary parts making a whole. You get how, you know, a personal change of perspective can improve somebody's overall look on life. There's that stuff there. There's also some complex ideas about kind of like battles of will between individuals. That stuff's in there. But then you get all of these relationship things that are happening, and because the characters are all 5 years older, you've got stuff like various kinds of relationships. So Hiccup and Astrid are now thinking about marriage. You know, there's kind of like the move towards engagement for them, so there's kind of boyfriend-girlfriend stuff with that. You have another character named Roughnut, voiced by the actress Kristen Wiig. And she's this teenage, like late teens, early 20s girl who's not interested in all of the affections of everybody around her, but then falls headlong for a minor villain who's redeemed during the course of the film. And then you have the relationship between, you've got the relationship between Hiccup and his father, Stoic, and then the addition of his long-lost mother into it. So there's a lot of stuff going on with those kind of relationships in the movie.
Is it intentionally trying to kind of describe the family? Not only is it a family film in that it's aimed at families, but it's about a family. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's about a family for sure. And in the trailers you do know that the mother is now part of it, so you would know that going into it. But what you don't maybe know is exactly how it's all going to play out. If a family is going to see this movie, or if a mother or father are going to take a kid to go, or even grandparents, there may be questions afterwards. There may be opportunities to talk about things, because the way they set it up, like the mother has been gone for 20 years and thought to be dead, and then the mother and the father come back together again, and instantly everything works perfect. They're back in love, they're a strong family unit, and for children who go through life in broken relationships where maybe it's a separation, a divorce, an estrangement of some kind, they go through an intense period of wanting their mother and father to get back together again in a lot of cases. And they'll go through, especially Christian children will go through desperately praying to God that this would happen. And what you get in this movie is almost kind of like a classic wish fulfillment kind of thing, where, you know, exactly what you'd want to happen happens. But Hollywood doesn't want, in this particular case, I guess, to leave that new family unit or that reunited family unit intact all the way through the movie. And this brings in a big, giant other theme that happens. And this will kind of spoil something for some people. There's a central character in the movie. The father dies. And that is puts the movie into the category of things like Old Yeller and Where the, you know, Red Fern Grows, and stuff like The Circle of Life, Bambi, where these central characters, sometimes in the case of Bambi, the mother, or in the case of The Circle of Life, the father, when a central character like that or a focused character dies, and children have to deal with that. Like, they may miss some of the other things going on in the movie, but they're not going to miss that.
Well, I mean, what we've learned from films like you referenced The Lion King is that, and you talk to people now who watch that as children, they're all in their 20s now. And they'll tell you that was like the most traumatic moment in their movie-going experience as a child. Do you think the filmmakers are aware of that?
They must be. I mean, and this is the point where, you know, children's movies, family movies, are written by adults. So they're bringing in the themes that are interesting to them or the things they think will make a good movie. They can't not know that that's going to be quite an impactful thing within the telling of the story. Like, they've got to know that that's the case. This is where it starts to border in on being obviously manipulative. And, like, not every family's in that situation. Like, some families are together, and there's strong marriage, strong, you know, family life. But even those children have friends who have gone through a divorce in the family, or they've had it in their own family and in different family members. So they've got to know that this is going to be very impactful to their viewers, and not just the adult viewers, but the children in the audience as well. In fact, we went to it, and my niece and nephew were with us, and they came home to their mom and dad, who were out. We went with grandma and grandpa. We all went together, and they were asked, well, what was this movie like? And they said, oh, something bad happened in the movie. And they're twins, and the other one said the dad died. So, like, and they're like young. They're in grade two, so they're picking up on that.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our review of the movie How to Train Your Dragon 2. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 19th. We'll be right back. Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, Visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest on this Thursday afternoon. We're reviewing the movie How to Train Your Dragon 2. A little bit later, Mark Tooley will join us from the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. to talk about an upcoming vote in the Presbyterian Church USA on same-sex marriage. And a United Methodist pastor is appealing being defrocked for performing his gay son's wedding. And then Chris Roseborough will join us. We'll be talking about Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis. Never thought I'd be saying that, but I guess I am. Pastor Giese, before the break, you were saying that a sensitive subject is raised in this, and actually in a lot of children's films like this, The Death of a Parent in How to Train Your Dragon 2, sensitive subject. Does the film deal with that subject responsibly?
It kind of happens in the third act of the film, so you don't have a lot of time to resolve everything. I imagine that they're going to have a third film in this franchise because, these are doing quite well. There's in between the release of these films, they've had books and a TV show and stuff like that. So I think they'll probably do that. And then in that case, you're going to have a movie, the third one, where he's got a mother, but he doesn't have a father now. In the first film, he had a father, but he didn't have a mother. In the middle film, if they make three, he had both for a short period of time. So I'm anticipating that if they're going to deal with it in a more substantial way, that it would happen in that third film. In this one, there's a sense that there's loose ends left by the end of the film, and that even like the son Hiccup and the father Stoic, they didn't fully reconcile everything before his death. Like from a Christian point of view, there's still some loose ends there because a lot of the plot of these two films is driven by Hiccup's disobedience, and it's kind of complicated because the way they've written it, Hiccup is always right, which isn't to say that Stoic the father is made out to be a dummy or they don't portray him in that way. He's not antagonistic towards his son. He loves his son, wants his son the best for his son, which is kind of rare in Hollywood films. He's actually a fairly good role model as a father. There are a couple things in there too, but like really quite different than what you normally see. So his death is even all the more tragic in that regard.
There are two other aspects to this film or elements in this film that I wanted you to discuss that you deal with in your review. Both of them have to kind of do with the very sometimes subtle but maybe not so subtle sexual content. One of them has to do with a relationship that you mentioned before between Roughnut and this villain who eventually gets redeemed. Talk about the scene there that caught your attention. And then another is a throwaway line having to do with probably another sexual orientation, or at least a hint at it. Deal with the scene, this, as you say, kind of a clever reversal of the male gaze scene.
Yeah, with Roughnut, it happens more than once. It's not a single time. She's a character, like I said, who's got a lot of male attention but isn't interested in it. And then she sees this one particular person, this one guy, and she falls headlong for him. And it's very obvious. The whole thing is done to be humorous, because it's unexpected of that character. So it's an unexpected reversal for this character who seems very disinterested in boys. Now, the part where they kind of focus in on this idea of the male gaze is where literally the camera does these close-up, slow-motion cuts to this character of Eret, son of Eret, and it's his muscles flexing as he's, like, turning cranks and pulling levers and stuff, and, you know, the skin is glistening and everything, and it's so strange to see it there, and, like, to see it there once is, like, unexpected. To see it there repeatedly is kind of odd, and really kind of starting to get at something. So if this was reversed and it was, like, the teenage boys who are interested in her looking at her various body parts in close-up, in slow motion, with glistening skin, you know, that would be completely deemed inappropriate. Somehow in this film, the movie still retains a PG rating, and it's seen as okay, perhaps because it's put together as a humorous thing. But then the parents and families that go and see the movie need to ask themselves, does that make it appropriate for young children, just because it's presented in a humorous way? So that would be something to consider there. Then the other thing that you were asking about with the character of Gobber, this is a character voiced by Craig Ferguson, who has a throwaway line in the movie where he comments as Hiccup's mother and father are arguing, "This is why I never got married, that and one other reason." The director of the film latched onto that. He himself is openly gay. He's decided that he wants to keep that in the film, puts it in the film. And really, it could go over the heads of a lot of children and some adults who aren't really thinking about that particular thing. But if you start to look around just briefly online or listen to something like Entertainment Tonight or something like that, you're going to find that when they're going around doing their junkets, their talks about this movie and having their interviews, it becomes something that gets asked over and over again, and it really comes out that the director sees that as Gobber coming out as being gay and that being okay, and that he likes that. So then the question is, as families go to see this or have seen it, you know, children may miss this. They may bring it up. They may ask, well, why is it that he didn't? What was the other reason he didn't want to get married? So again, like, they can't, there's even a question. I put a video into the blog post of an interviewer, and the interviewer asks, in the next movie, might we see Gobber find love? So people are pressing the envelope in that regard, and this is a children's movie. So the question is, what are you going to do as a adult, like going to see the movie? How are you going to approach that if those questions come up? That would be the thing to think about.
I mean, obviously, we don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of kids' films. But to your knowledge, is this the first time not only has there been an insinuation of same-sex attraction by a character, albeit a minor character, but actually the director coming out and saying, yes, that's exactly what I intended to do. I wanted to introduce an openly gay character into this kid's family movie.
Well, to be fair to the director, I don't think that, like, he didn't write it like that. He wasn't, like from everything that I've come across, it doesn't look like he wrote it like that. Craig Ferguson ad-libbed the line. He kept it and ran with it. So that's a little different. Like, he didn't sit down and pen it that way. Like, there's no indication that that's the case. These, like, other movies, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything like that. I do recall, and I didn't see it, I probably should have, although it made, like, billions of dollars, it doesn't need my $15. The movie Frozen, some people, I think they said there was some stuff like that in there that people were inferring in. Again, like, It's hard to say. I don't want to comment too much on that. I can't think of it, anything like that off the top of my head. But this may be one of, like, a signpost along the way towards something different that may be coming down the line. I mean, you do have things like the TV show Glee, for instance, which is geared towards a younger audience. Now, this is a TV thing and not a movie thing, but that, you know, really pressed an LGBT agenda in the storytelling in that show. And it's that was pressed towards also, like, ordered towards younger children. So we do see this kind of happening now at this level of family and, you know, children's entertainment.
So would you recommend the film? And if so, what would you say to parents taking their kids? Because these kids are going to be 4, 5 years old, maybe even younger. What would you say to them pastorally before they see this film, How to Train Your Dragon 2?
The film's very entertaining. It's a well-made movie. It's got really good production value. That, like, at this point, like, these computer animated movies are very good in terms of, like, actually technically the what you see on the screen. The voice acting is good. It's not a poorly made film. Now, if a family is going to go see it, let's look at it like this. If you are a person who's tragically gone through a divorce or is in a separation or estrangement or even more tragically has had a family member like a mother or a father die and you're going to this movie with a child, sometimes those are very difficult things to talk about. The movie may actually serve a purpose in that regard as being a way to broach the subject. So you can kind of jump off from the movie to talk about this with the child. That's putting the best construction on it. So, like, you know, if you're going to go see it, be prepared to ask some questions maybe, or even to listen. Talk. I would always suggest to talk with the kids about it. You know, the appropriate person, the mother, the father, the grandparent, to have that conversation with the kid and see what they're thinking about it. Find out what they picked up from it. Like, did they notice the thing about Gobber? You know, what did they think of Roughnut and her, you know, fascination with this Eret, son of Eret? You know, what did they think about the father dying? Or that getting back together again of the mother and the father? You know, what did they think about these things? I think that it's worth considering the conversation that would occur afterwards because of it. Look past the colorful dragons and the excitement and things and go to the actual story and start thinking about it in terms of biblical narratives, things like that. I kind of saw in there the prodigal son kind of stuff is a little bit in there. We don't probably have a lot of time to talk about that also today, but there's that stuff in there. What Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 about when a man looks at a woman with lustful intent, then that in and of itself is also adultery. And that crosses gender lines. That's for men and women both. So what kind of things are going on? Like, have that conversation. And remember what the catechism says, that, you know, the head of the house is intended to teach their children. So, you know, go back to the catechism, look at it, think about it in connection with this movie also, and be ready to have those conversations afterwards. Don't just miss the opportunity if you're going to go see this film, or if you have already.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie How to Train Your Dragon 2 at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., about same-sex marriage in both the Presbyterian Church USA and the United Methodist Church. Stay tuned.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Facebook. Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.